Welcome to Cheap Astronomy's Fantastic Physics Formulas. And today we are looking at Debye's wave-particle duality formula. There's no one single formula that captures wave-particle duality. It's a principle that extends across a lot of physics. But Debye's lambda equals Planck's constant over p is fundamental to the concept. It states that lambda, that signifies wavelength, equals h, Planck's constant, over p, which signifies momentum. That on its own might not signify all that much, but consider that p, momentum, also equals mass times velocity, so that the formula captures a relationship between mass, which is something we normally associate with material particles, and wavelength, which is something we normally associate with, well, waves. There's a fundamental problem with the traditional view of atoms when we think of them as a nucleus surrounded by orbiting electrons. Toward the end of the 19th century, James Clerk Maxwell convincingly demonstrated that a charged particle in motion generates electromagnetic waves, that is, light. But if an electron produced electromagnetic radiation as it moved around and around a nucleus, then its orbit should steadily decay as a result of the energy it loses through producing that light. Needless to say, an orbiting electron in a stable atom at room temperature doesn't do any of these things. It doesn't produce light, and nor does it spiral into the nucleus as a consequence. Debye, indeed Prince Louis-Victor Debye, proposed that electrons around atoms are best thought of as waves, even though in other circumstances they might seem to act like particles. So, rather than thinking of an electron as a point-like particle in an orbit, he proposed the whole orbit was in fact a wave. This suggestion provides a mechanism to explain Max Planck's proposal that thermal radiation from a heated material is released in distinct quanta, like little packets of energy, rather than a continuous flow. So, if you heat a chunk of iron, it starts to glow, because its electrons are absorbing energy and jumping up to a higher energy shell, and then radiating off that energy by releasing a photon, an energy packet, which allows the electron to return to its lower energy shell. The quantum, non-continuous nature of the process means there are no intermediate stages in the shift from one energy shell to another. This is where the term quantum leap comes from. An electron cannot exist in between energy shells. It can jump from one orbital shell to the next orbital shell and drop back again, but it's never to be found in transit between shells. It's there, and then it's there. Debye's proposal, that an electron is really a wave, explains all this nicely. As a wave, an electron can only occupy an orbit that allows its waveform to remain in phase with itself. In phase, meaning that it has peak, trough all the way around, with each peak meeting a trough in an orderly fashion. If you tried to shift the circumference of the orbit, then peak might no longer meet trough all the way around, so the wave would be all jumbled up and out of phase. In fact, there will only be a few discrete orbits where the whole waveform can stay in phase around a particular circumference. That's the physical explanation of Debye's formula. The math of Debye's formula of lambda, wavelength, equals h, Planck's constant, over p, momentum, which is mass times velocity, is derived from some key mathematical and theoretical breakthroughs made over the course of the early 20th century. Max Planck demonstrated a quantized relationship between the frequency of radiating light and the energy of that light, represented as E equals H, Planck's constant, times light frequency. Einstein then showed that light quanta, that is, photons, had a certain momentum from his Nobel Prize-winning work on the photoelectric effect. And Einstein also demonstrated a certain mass-energy equivalence from his work on relativity, where E equals mc squared. It's beyond this podcast to talk through all the derivation steps in audio, but if you start with mc squared equals h times light frequency, since both sides of that equation each equal E for energy, then you really do end up deriving that lambda equals h on p, remembering that p, momentum, is shorthand for mass times velocity, and that lambda, wavelength, has an inverse relationship with frequency. It's all out there on the internet if you want to give it a try. Go on.